Okay, so we have, this is really on last week's parsha, apologize, that it says, "Vateres Sara has ben Hagar Mitzris asher yalda la'avram mitzachik." So Sara saw Hagar, the son of Hagar. Doesn't say his name. Says the son of Hagar mitzachik. Mitzachik literally means laughing. Vatomer la'avram. So she's based on that. She tells Avraham, "Gorei sha'oma hazoi, throw this woman out, Vespina, and her son. Kilo yiresh ben oma hazoi, in b'niyam yitzlach, because they won't get Yerusha." So very hard pasuk. What was the big deal? She saw Yishmael, doesn't mention Yishmael by name, it says the son of Hagar, he saw him mitzachek, but so terrible at mitzachek, and based on that she says, throw him out. And then she says something about, because he shouldn't get Yerusha. What does it have to do with Yerusha? Nothing to do with Yerusha. Just something, she's throwing him out because she didn't like the Mitzachek. Rashi says this Mitzachek means Avodah Zarah, but that's not really the Pasha Pshat. Mitzachek just means laughing. So there's a Sipurna which has a very interesting Pshat. So he says, Mitzachek, if you look at the second Sipurna, because the pasuk right before was Vayas Avram Mishta, Gadol Yomi Gamos Yitzchak. Avram was making a celebration in honor of Yitzchak, with either the Bris Mila, Pidgin HaBen, or just in general. So he was making fun of the immediate what passed. But Amro, Shinis Avram Avimelech, Avram's making fun of him celebrating he had this son. He didn't have his son. Sarah got pregnant from Avimelech. That's the Mitzachek. The Mitzachek was that he was ridiculing the immediately previous party. The reason why it says in the previous Yisipurin, it says as Ben Hagar Mitzris, is because Choshrish and Israel Lagne Shama came to Emo. In other words, Sarah understood that this. That Yishmael was saying this because he heard it from his mother, so it's blamed on his mother. She's the instigator of this. Okay, so that's how he's learning that Avram, that Yishmael was making fun of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak is not like Avram thinks, the son of Avram, but rather Yishmael is Yitzchak is really a mamzer. He's the son of Avimelech, with Sarah, who's an Eishes Ish, he's a mamzer, and notes into an Avraham Avinu, nothing. Therefore, she says, Keresh ha'oma hazait has been up. Get rid of this woman. Ki be'etzasa asa ben. It was her instigating. She was the one that bring Pasuk Yud. She's the one that planned this. Why? Now, it's not because she really knew the truth. She was in the growing up, and she was in the Avraham's house. Everyone in It was Nisim Gluyim and it was that by Avimelech. So everyone knew the truth, but she did it leman yirish benos hakol. In other words, Avraham was very wealthy. Now everyone realized, now Avraham's 100 years old. Eventually he's going to die. Took him maybe another 20, 30, 40 years. Eventually he's going to die. Who's going to yarshin all that money? You know how much money Avraham Avinu has. Who's going to yarshin it all? So Hagar wanted her son to yarshin the whole thing. She shouldn't go to Yitzchak. So what she did is, so what Sarah understood, and apparently she was right, because Hashem tells Avraham to listen to what she says, is that Hagar came up with this plot that let's go ahead and put out a call that Yitzchak is really the illegitimate son. He's not really the son of Avram. He's the son of Avimelech. So then when Avram dies and Yitzchak comes to collect the Yerusha, people will say, you? You have no rights here. You're not the son of Avram Avinu. What do you get out of here? And the people, the Bezdin, would paskin that all the Yerusha goes to Yishmael, he would be the only son. So this was Hagar's plan. So he says the Sipurno, ki be'atzasa, that was her plan, osa ben, shehotzi diba, he put out this Lashon Hara, Leman Yerish Benasakol, so her son can get everything. Lefika Garish, therefore she's saying, get him out, throw him out. Vimnei She'ein Odinshir, I feel a mix, and it's fakirt. The opposite is true. You know, Bidavka, someone like Mida Kenega Mida, they want to go ahead and kick Yitzchak out and take everything for themselves. So what we should do is we should kick them out and they should get nothing. Kilo Yirish Ben Hamaf, I care, they shouldn't get anything. They should be kicked out. Let everyone know that he's a slave. She'enem Yuchas Achrecha, he's considered, Yishmael is not a real son. He comes from a slave, and he doesn't have a real, just the opposite. He's the one that's not a real son. Okay. That's how the Tzipporna learns the Pshat. So, the question every good shmooze is, who are we talking about? Right? So we're talking here about Hagar. Hagar, according to Tzipporna, came up with this plan, this plot, to go ahead and work out to get all the money for her son. Now, who's Hagar? I don't know who Hagar is, right? Don't know. But luckily, the Tzipporna himself, Bistamash is a pretty chasha person, because if Avram Avinu married her, you know, he took her as a wife, with Sarah's suggestion, we assume that he didn't just marry any old lady. You know, it's Bistamash that Avram Avinu would pick for his wife, you know, that he granted it was Sarah's suggestion, but Sarah also would not suggest, and Avram would not agree. He's probably a pretty chasha person. But besides the Mistama, we have in the Pasuk, in Lech Lecha, it says that when she ran away, in the beginning there she became pregnant, and Sarah was getting pressure on her, so she ran away. So it says, Vayimsoa Mawach Alein HaMoyim. So Rash, the Tzipporna, same author, says, Motza also muchenes amaros elokim. What does it mean by the Malach found her? I mean, Malach doesn't find it, like searching. So he says he found that something unusual. Found means you find something unusual. So he found that she was ready for nevuah. She was ready, muchenes. So that's a pretty high madrega. There aren't too many people, I think, that are ready for nevuah. Right? In other words, here, she's running away. But at the same time, while she's running away, because she is ready to get, she's muchanes in nevuah. She's muchanes in maras elokin. And that's why she was zeicha for the Malach. The Malach came. There are people sometimes in Tanakh that the Malach came. The Malach came to Bilam. We don't say he was a tzaddik. Sometimes the Malach can come to a person, even if he's not royal, a special reason. But generally speaking, a Malach comes to a person, you have to be on a madrega. So here, the Tzipporna says that she was roy, she was muchanes, she was on the level where she was, the Malach discovered that she was ready for nevuah. So you're talking about a woman who is obviously on a very high spiritual level. She's a neviah. It basically becomes, I don't know if it's called the Nevi'ah, I don't know if you speak to a Malach, it's called the Nevi'ah. I don't know what qualifies to be a Navi. Maybe it's not a Navi yet, just for a Malach. But it's definitely a pretty high measure. I have to admit, I have not gotten yet a Malach, right? So it's on a very high level. So the Kasha, the obvious Kasha is what Hagar is being accused, which is apparently truth, because Hashem tells Avram Avinu that Sarah is right. So what Hagar sounds, it sounds like such a low-life thing. You know, here there's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the son of Avram Avinu, the next God of Adar, and you're basically trying to kill him, you know, assassinate him. Okay, they didn't go ahead and plan how to assassinate him physically. But, you know, basically that's what you're doing. You're turning him into, instead of being the God Ador, the Tzaddik, you know, that people are going to view him as the Yoresh of Avram Avinu, the next leader of Klal Yisrael, the religious leader of the world. No, he's a mamzer. He's nothing to do with Avram Avinu. You know, he's, you know, that's, you know, that's character assassination on the highest level. You can't get more than a higher level of character assassination. And, you know, so what? And what are you doing it for? Because I want the money. Okay. And if you Miss Rashi, the man Yirish Bino es Hakol. Sounds like from the Sipurnu that beforehand, if they wouldn't have done this, they would have gotten a nice Yerusha, right? Sarah wouldn't have told them to throw him out. And he would have gotten, you know, they would have figured out some way to divide the inheritance. It was, but she wanted, the Sipurnu says, the man Yirish Bino es Hakol. Avram Avinu is very wealthy. I want it all. I need it all for my son. So what do? You go ahead and you spread this Lashon Hara and you try and basically, for all practical purposes, to kill the Ruchnius of Yitzchak. So it's an amazing thing that a person who is seemingly on a high madrega of Ruchnius and can go ahead and do such a thing. So the answer is, like every good shmuz, yeah, that's how it is, because it's shnei dinim nifradim, because money is money. That's what it is. So money, there's a tremendous nisayim, there's these millions and millions of dollars, and you have a way to get them. That's a very, very big temptation. So even though you're a tzaddikus, and you're when it comes to nevuah, that's not money. That's just, you know, you have to daven with, you know, that's ben Oda, ben Hashem, you know. Okay, so I can do it. That can be that level of tzidkus. But to turn down any sign of money, it's a different aveira. Rab Brook explains it a little bit. He doesn't say it here, but he says a little bit Hesber. He says as follows. He says that yeshiva guys think that they don't understand. What's any big sign of money? He says, I go ahead and I go in the candy machine and I find the dollar and I return it. I don't keep it, even though I ask my Rebbe, can I keep it? And he says, "Renu meikradin, you can keep it. There's a hitter to return it." And lifnim ishur is adin, I go return it. And I go to the bank machine and the ATM, and they give me more money. And I go into the bank and I give him back the extra money. Wow, you see? So you see, I have no nisayin for money. Look at that. No one knew. The machine gave me an extra $50. I didn't have to keep it. I guess the guy before me maybe didn't take all his money. I don't know. And I, on my own, just went in, gave the money. Wow, see, I don't have any nisayin for money. So says Rav Brook, you're making a mistake. Of course you have any nisayin for money. He says the famous Tarzan story. He says Tarzan had no taiva for women because he never saw a woman. But the moment he saw a woman, he had a taiva. Right? That's what he says. Doesn't exactly quote Tarzan, but that's what he says. He says yeshiva guys don't see money because they don't live in a society where money plays such an important value. They're living in a fake society. They're living in a society where other things count. How much money doesn't count in yeshiva? So Mimeda, if you're living in a society where money doesn't really count for that much, there's another guy in yeshiva has more money. He's not any more choshev in the yeshiva. Guys in yeshiva don't give more respect to another guy in yeshiva because his father's richer. So it doesn't register that this is so important. Basically, everyone in yeshiva is the same. Makes no difference how much money you have. So therefore, in yeshiva culture, close mind, you're in the Dalit Amos of yeshiva as a bacher, you know, so money doesn't, there's no big taiva because you're in a society which is not machshav money. So, but wait till you go out to the world and you get into your shul, and then who becomes the guest of honor at every dinner? There's a guy with the money. And who gets the chasen Torah? The guy with the money. And who gets all the aliyahs? And who gets all the covet? And who gets, you know, in the world, you'll discover that, it, you know, and you also need the money for things. You got to get married. You need to buy a house. And all of a sudden, you discover that money plays a main, is very important. Money, the world runs around money. So he says that same yeshiva guy, that when he was in yeshiva, didn't have a tiver for money, he says he gets a tiver for money. The whole world revolves around money. So what makes the world go around? That's the expression. So therefore, he says, when we don't realize it, it's such a tremendous tiver. So therefore, we have to declare that we could be, what he says, you could be a biggest tzaddik in the world. You could be, right? We're saying Hager is a tremendous tzaddikus. But that doesn't mean I can have a diver for money. You see this, I'm running late, I'm a little bit over time, but I see the Mesirat Yesharim quickly seems to say the same thing. Mesirat Yesharim is in Perek Yud-Aleph. Now, those who know, Mesirat Yesharim, we don't really read almost till Perek Yud-Aleph. Basically, I mean, maybe with the Eved we read Perek Yud-Aleph, you know. But we basically stop after Zahiris and Zrizas. Nikias, a little bit we do. This is Nikias. Okay, I don't want to say people do read Nikias. But the basic assumption is that for our lowly, our dar, we're mostly on the Madrega of Nikias, of the Hiris and Zrizas. So Perek Yud-Aleph and Mesirat Yesharim is already talking to people who are in a pretty high Madrega. This is, you know, pretty high, basically. And what does he say? He talks about during the first Mesirat Yesharim, he also the sakanos rabos. People risk they put their lives in danger. It weakens their energy because of all their worry. So now if you have a person who is on Perek Yud-Aleph of Mesirat Yesharim, which is pretty good, we were on Perek Yud-Aleph of Mesirat Yesharim, and he's Sigo Harbe, he got lots of, he's Baruch Hashem, he's comfortable, and yet the Mesirat Yesharim is saying that the norm is he's going to risk his life so he can make more money, right? Or he's going to be worried. Daigus, he's going to the point that he's going to get sick almost because he's thinking about money. Right? So that's it. Then in the next paragraph, he's even stronger. He says, in the next paragraph, he says, in the second line, the Lulezev, not for the pack of people, covet, money and covet go together very much because very often one of the reasons why people want money because it brings covet. People would eat whatever they want, whatever they could get. Would dress, whatever, who cares? They would live in a shack. They would barely work. It would be easy. They wouldn't have to bother. It's all because of gaiva, competition, covet. He says people's whole lives, the people that they spend their whole lives running, working day and night, they could live a simple, enjoyable life. He says they would. It's only because of their covet. So again, it's the same thing. He's saying that people could be on a high level. This is a pretty high level. A person in Perek Yud-Aleph, and he has really no need to work. He could sit home and relax, learn all day. Do mitzvahs all day, just enjoy life all day, whatever it is, but he kills himself to work day and night because I had the covet. I gotta have the covet. I mean, people are gonna look at me as a pauper. I can't take it. So anyway, what it basically comes out is that we have to be honest with ourselves, and this is what Rav Brook says, that we have to realize that the money is a very strong yetzahara. Even, or it's money / covet, they go together, because covet is just a way of getting covet in many circles. And he says, and even if we reach high levels, we have to suspect ourselves. And what we said many times is the realization of the danger is the protection. When a person realizes that there's a danger, so then you can at least protect yourself. The worst thing is to go on a cliff with your eyes closed. That's the Mesirat Yesharim. When you go on a cliff and your eyes closed and you think, I'm safe, that's when you fall off. When you realize that I'm a human being, I'm susceptible to be nichshol like other people, it could be a navi in a sense, but it doesn't mean I'm not susceptible and I have to be. Whenever there's a shayla, when it comes to these issues, I have to really suspect myself that maybe it's my negia for money - covid, which is making me make a mistake in my cheshbon. Okay, shekayach, everyone.